And we welcome you once again to the post-game podcast here and tonight, live from Waco ISD Stadium, where the Bearcats have picked up their 89th consecutive district win. And with this victory as well, they improve overall to 7-1, 6-0 in district play with just 2 weeks left to go in the regular season. Jeff Williams along with Jeff Lewis, who is filling in tonight for John Hampton. Kevin Longquist also on assignment, so it's the Jeff show here tonight. As we talk about that 77-10 win over the University Trojans, a program that just a little over a year ago was mired in a 47-game losing streak. Since that time, coming into tonight, they'd won 7, lost 9, 7-9, which fairly respectable record, quite honestly, for a rebuilding program and a coach just in his third year coming into this game. But the Bearcats, and again, no matter how much you're improving, they even, you know, their coaches, you know, going in, you know, realize that they're just outgunned. And when the Bearcats, even when they're not bringing their A game, they're still going to be outgunning teams like this that are building their programs. But tonight, the Bearcats brought their A game, certainly on offense. JoJo Earl from the beginning, he ends up tonight with 6 touchdowns. And that was just, you know, 77-10 games can kind of wind down and kind of wear you down or whatever as a fan or, you know, someone calling the game. Tonight was just full of highlight stuff. And quite honestly, I thought the Trojans fared better than the 10 points they displayed. They also had a little pop to the offense. They just made a couple of crucial errors that ended up keeping them from scoring 20, you know, in the 20s probably.
Yeah, one of those errors right off the bat, Alito scores on their first drive, a touchdown, and they kick off, and we have a fumble, and Alito recovers that. So it's 14-0 before University even gets their first play from scrimmage.
Yeah, a minute and a half in the game, and boom.
Yeah, and there you go. But I thought ones versus ones. I thought University moved the ball. They had some big runs. They had some chunk yardage, and they weren't able to finish drives.
That's perfect.
The
perfect
way that
description.
Alito was. Alito, you know, they get touchdowns every time they're driving, and sometimes very quickly, where the Trojans got into the red zone and had to settle for a field goal and got in there another time and lost the ball on downs. And so all that yardage between the mid-latitudes that University was racking up, surprisingly, they had to feel good about that. They were getting good long runs and some good pass plays and gaining some yards. They weren't just totally stuffed. You think it's 77-10, you're like, well, the Alito defense must have just totally stuffed them. That wasn't necessarily the case. They had some big plays and some big returns that were maybe called back by penalty, and so all-purpose yardage. I thought University, they never gave Alito a scare, but they showed that they have some athletes on the offensive side of the ball for sure.
They were 1 of 9 on third down tries. That was the killer for them. But like, they had over 300 yards in total offense in the game tonight. Individually for Alito, let's talk about a couple of things tonight that I was certainly very entertained by, and that was JoJo Earl is a running and pass catching threat. Had 3 touchdowns on each side of the, you know, of the offensive game, 3 running, 3 receiving, and he was just unstoppable out there tonight. And then also, late in the game when it's out of hand, after the first drive, Coach Buchanan and the staff basically just, they removed all the starters and they unleashed Garrett Key, he provided a lot of entertainment in the game tonight because this is a kid that hasn't played in a varsity game, and he came out and had over 100 yards rushing, and he was just blowing people up, seeking out contact. And like I said, he was kind of old school, one hand over the ball, one hand under the ball, and between the tackles, and just blowing people up, running hard.
Right, and a lot of times when you don't get a lot of plays, your tendency is to try to make a big play out of everything and maybe bounce it outside and not just follow the gap or the hole you're supposed to hit. And Key, he ran exactly where he was supposed to. If the hole wasn't there, he lowered his shoulder and moved the pile for 5, 6, 8 yards. If the hole was there, look out, because he was taking on linebackers and corners and safeties once he got into the open field.
DeMarco Roberts also with a couple of carries tonight where he was just slinging defenders. He would get that stiff arm going, and at one point, and I think the word you use is he trucked him, he just basically threw the guy like 3 yards down the field and kept going forward.
And he was using the defenders weight and their balance against them. If they were coming across the front of him, he kind of would do the swipe move and just continue pushing the defender along that path, and that's when it makes for a great fall and a flail, and it really looks like that stiff arm is doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, and they did it tonight under – this wasn't brutal conditions by any means. If you're playing a lot, and everybody got to play a lot tonight – it felt like 40, probably crazy windy out there the entire game. Usually once nightfall sets in, it'll calm down a little bit, but it really never did. Other player we didn't mention, Jake Bishop. I guess early in his career, he was a kid that would tuck it and run at first sight. You know, anybody gets within 5 yards of him. But tonight, I mean, he's not even a running now. He can. He's a threat, but he doesn't. It's not part of his game right now. He came in completing 77% of his passes tonight, 15 of 18. And if the guy is open, he's hitting him on the money, and he did that again tonight, 15 of 18 for 302, I think, were his final numbers in the game. And he's just – it was almost like a quiet 302 because he's putting in a position where those guys can do something with it and putting it on the money.
He had good pass protection, so he would step up.
Great pass protection
in the pocket. But there were times where he eluded the rush, where one player was bearing down on him. He read that he would elude the rush and then keep his eyes down the field. One of the touchdowns in the back of the end zone to JoJo was where he dodged the middle linebacker and was able to stay on his feet and keep his eyes downfield. And another two or three times he broke the pocket. And instead of running, he kind of danced near the line of scrimmage and looked for receivers downfield. So you're right. Not that he's not a threat, but I think that showed in a game like this, he was focused on getting his receivers the ball. And maybe in a game that's closer and it's more necessary, he runs for that 8 or 10 yards, slides, and gets the first down. But in this game, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, that's part of the maturation for him, and he's been a starter here since his sophomore year. The biggest notable drive to me was the final drive of the first half. Bearcats up 42-3 at the time, and the Bearcats got a turnover on downs at their own 20-yard line with 20 seconds left. Two plays, Money Parks in the end zone to complete the drive as time ran out. From 35 yards out, another pass from Bishop, and they had gotten way upfield, 45 yards of it on the first play on a pass to JoJo Earl. But it just showed, you know, I'm sure there were scouts starting to – I'm sure the potential playoff scouts are already starting to sniff around. And they had to watch this tonight, I'm thinking, and just be almost horrified when they – not only from what they saw, but then thinking – what's going to happen when Jace McClellan gets back? Because he isn't going to displace anybody. He's just going to get back in the mix. And then suddenly, Kay Jones is better. Money Parks is better. JoJo Earl is better. Jake Bishop is better, because a lot of focus is then going to go on Jace McClellan, and those dudes are going to be able to run around free.
Right. Scary efficient.
Scary.
When you can score five different times on two play drives. I mean, all right, we're at the 40. Oh, it just takes two plays, and we'll be in the end zone. Most teams with 20 seconds to go, you maybe take a shot and try to get to midfield and then see what happens. But it is a good time to be aggressive. Defenders as a half or toward the end of the game become more tired from chasing multiple receivers around the field than the offense gets tired at that point. I think toward the end of the half, it's always good to be aggressive. Because if anything, that defense is a step slower, a little bit behind, and I would advise doing that. However, with 20 seconds to go in the half, on your own 20.
And you're not even using a timeout. They didn't use one, didn't go out of bounds.
No, they had the stoppage on the first down in the middle of the field, didn't take a timeout, got all the linemen, got everybody up to the line of scrimmage, and were able to get, after a 45-yard play, the next play off in 6 seconds. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. You talked about some of the players of the game, and I kind of nominated the offensive line.
Yeah,
I thought
they were good.
I thought they just blew away the defensive line from University. The running backs did a great job, but there were plenty of holes. Bishop did a great job. He was protected well. And so it was just a total domination in every phase of the game.
The other thing, if I'm trying to defend Alito, it almost makes me want to go for it really on fourth down, no matter what, because it doesn't matter to Alito from where they start, because they're going to make a run at a touchdown every time. And if you're going to keep pace, you got to try to get some first downs, kill the clock. More than anything, it keeps the clock moving. You can control the clock a little bit, because it doesn't matter if you go for it on fourth down at your own 40 and don't make it. It doesn't matter if you punt it away and they've got to start on their own 30 or whatever. It just doesn't matter. I'd be inclined, if I'm playing them, to pretty much, unless I'm inside the 10 maybe.
Right, just go for it every time.
Yeah,
because
why not?
You give them the ball at the 40, they're scoring in two plays anyway. And so you might as well take the chance of keeping the ball. It's almost like getting a turnover or saving yourself to have to punt. A lot of times you punt it, you get a net 25. Alito's getting 25 on the first play.
Right.
You're right back where you started. It's either one play for them to get back there or one play for you to try to get the first down and keep the ball.
Right. Well, I appreciate you joining us tonight, filling in for John Hampton. It was a lot of fun. Big win, 77-10. I don't know. We might have to bring you back.
Hey, I think I'm averaging like 68 points a game or something crazy when I work with you. I always enjoy it, catching up, and you always bring me in for these kind of games, so it makes me feel good, like I really put a lot of points on the board.
Sorry about that. Anyway, that's Jeff Lewis. I'm Jeff Williams. That'll put a wrap on the post-game show here on KTFW 92.1 FM. Bearcats back in action next week. Final regular season home game. They'll take on Joshua. We'll be on the air on Hank FM at 7 o'clock with the pregame show, 7:30 the kickoff. Bearcats going for district win number 90 in a row next week. Also, thanks to Hayden Posey. For Jeff Lewis, I'm Jeff Williams. We'll catch you next week here on the post-game podcast on Hank FM. Good night.